Okay, so Mr. Manconi and Mr. Morgan, the floor is yours. We have a presentation, je pense que il y a de l'interprétation qui est disponible aussi, so interpretation is available.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bonjour à tous. Mr. Mayor, I want to start off the presentation today. I'm going to kick off with the incident that occurred last week, the derailment in the yard. I want to just provide you with some background and tell you how we've closed off on that. So last Friday, and then I'll move into the update, the broader update of the LRT system. So last Friday, during our morning launch testing and practicing exercises, a trail derailment occurred at the Belfast Yard. That's within the maintenance facility. It was not on the main line. And that was due to an incorrect switch movement. It was a human error. What was occurring was a train that was traveling at the right speed. There's a very low speed restriction within the yard. That's what you do because there's a lot of movements, a lot of trains, curves and switches and so forth. Had one set of the wheels shift off the track at a switch location where they moved the from one track over to the other. It's important to note that unlike the main line, currently in the yard system, the switches are manually controlled. Out on the main line, they're all CBTC controlled. Within the yard, there'll eventually be full CBTC control. We're just transitioning to that right now. So, but that's an important point because I know people asked, you know, could this occur out in the main line and so forth. They are not manually controlled out there unless you're into override systems and so forth. There were no injuries and only minor repairs were required to the switch mechanism. The vehicle's been inspected, doesn't appear to have any major repairs or requirements like that. I know there was, you know, social media quotes out there that there was cranes en route and the train was on its side. That was not the case. This is a picture of the train at the location where the switch slide-off occurred. And one of the comments was there was a lot of personnel out there. That was by design, Mr. Mayor and members of committee. We used this opportunity to do a training exercise, so the event occurred. This does occur in yard facilities. I'm not minimizing it. The number of personnel that were there, they were actually doing the actual mechanical work of moving the train back onto the track. Others were observing, taking notes and so forth. So there's a large presence of vests and hard hats there, and that was by design. So unfortunate incident, but it's a great learning moment, and that's part of testing and commissioning. This is not, and again, I'm not minimizing it. This does occur during startup operations and even in normal operations. It's not unheard of. You want to minimize the occurrences, which leads me into this next slide. So those of you that were on council previously, remember that you approved a safety management system. It's a very robust, best-in-class safety management system that reports through eventually to you, to council. You'll be receiving an annual report, and you also invested in an independent reviewer of that safety management system. And the thrust of that is that you take safety as an iterative process. You're always striving for perfection, and we take every single incident very, very seriously. And we're open and transparent about it. We had a press conference on site. That was by design so people could see the train and what we were doing out there and so forth. The safety management system has a bunch of key things that are critical to, you know, driving the culture and the system to ensure it's safe. We consider it in everything that we do. We have overarching goals. And reporting and investigating protocols are in place to identify what's occurred with any incident and to prevent the reoccurrence from happening again. So in accordance with that safety management system, which is very prescriptive, there's protocols and so forth, an investigation was immediately launched, and the morning launch activity of the trains were ceased. That was the right call. That's what you do. You freeze the operation. And we restored service by 3 p.m. And we have done the debriefs, the reviews, so forth. We also invested, as you know, I have a safety management officer that reports directly to me. He's been involved in it, RTG, RTM, and so forth. And so there are a number of operational and procedural changes that have been implemented. So, Mr. Mayor, now I'm going to transition to the LRT update that you're looking for today. So I'm going to start off with the stations. All 13 stations have now received occupancy permits, and they're literally in the final cleanup of those stations. You're seeing the hoarding coming down. They're actually cleaning the glasses. They're sweeping, they're mopping, all those things. I know people were asking about Rideau Station. So all those stations have occupancy permits. There's some final paperwork that needs to be done. That's moving, and I want to thank Mr. Willis and his team. He's put on a dedicated team of inspectors, and they've been phenomenal. When you see Frank Bedin and his team, just thank them. They've been outstanding, working weekends, nights, and so forth. The RTG is making progress, and it's evident in certain elements of the work. I'm going to take you through. I have two pictures of each station, and they definitely demonstrate the completeness of where we are. We're literally down to decals on stations. Many people have commented, and you know, there's Tunney's Pasture, not even in service yet in terms of open to the public, but already the bike racks that you invested in are being used. Key elements that you invested in, that could have been plain glass on the ceiling, but there's beautiful artwork that's integrated into that station and gives a great feature to those that use it. Bayview Station, very critical. I present this shot to you because there's many connection modes to all of the station. On the other side, there's a fully accessible MUP for cyclists and people that don't want to take the stairs, lighting, LED lighting features, wayfinding, and so forth. Pimisi, when you get down there, it is just a magnificent space built for the future. The underground connection that you can walk, cycle through, the lantern with the big white O, white and red O symbol, great architectural features, etched glass on the upper concourse, and so forth. Inside of Pimisi, demonstrating again how all these stations are open, airy. There's no dark nooks or crannies, places for people to linger around. They're very welcoming and friendly with art integrated throughout them. Lion, again, fantastic architectural design features. Very bright, that is underground, and you can tell that it's a very welcoming space. It's a very large space. You've built it for the future. You have capacity and size for 50 years of build out, unheard of in terms of these projects, in terms of what's been done. And I already know people that work in that building that can't wait in the middle of winter not to even have to wear a coat. They're fully integrated into their workspace and their commute. Another shot of Lion, that could have been boring gray concrete walls, but you chose to invest wisely in integrating art. And then again, that's a nice stairwell feature, escalator feature, and so forth. Parliament, the ceiling artwork is done, fare gates are up and operational, wayfinding, and so forth. Again, could have had boring steel in the middle of those two tracks. Instead, there's some really well done artwork that's both a safety feature and a piece of art. Rideau, it's now, we have occupancy permit. You can tell it's completed. Etched glass in the back, wood ceilings, wayfinding connection. You're seeing the signage inside the Rideau Center being changed to direct people to here. And it's really completing that important hub. Some additional wayfinding and fare gates. U of Ottawa, we have a meeting with University of Ottawa today. They're excited about this. They're using it for their marketing and their branding. You know, you gave them the privilege of having a station named after their university, and to have a direct connection to this important infrastructure is so important. Inside of U of Ottawa underneath, you see the MUP in the back, and integration with the elements. Lees Avenue, again, the lantern feature with the red O, symbolic. By the way, I should mention, you're gonna start seeing, they've already started out on the roadways, wayfinding signs that our traffic operations are putting in there with the O. So the O is everywhere. Lees Avenue, a shot from above. Herdman, integrated layup, very busy transfer point, great architectural features and amenities. Tremblay connection to our VIA partners. Yes, we will be doing integrated trip planning so that when you buy your VIA ticket, you can also buy a ticket on our system. They can't wait to be doing that with us. Inside of Tremblay, Saint-Laurent, they've spoken to the mall owners. They're very excited about how this is going to transform their mall and again, some excellent work that's been done within the station. Sayreville lights up at night, great integration, can't miss it, and some of the lighting features there that you see embedded, not only are there good lighting features, or efficient lighting features, and so forth, so it aligns with your other council priorities. And just another shot of Sayreville. Blair, you've seen before. So, Mr. Mayor, now I'm going to talk to you about where we are with the project. So that's a tour of the stations. They've received their occupancy permits. So RTG has submitted their substantial completion paperwork and relevant paperwork. The substantial completion process is guided by the project agreement, and I'm going to walk you through how that works in a moment, and I'm going to talk about trial running and revenue service availability, all those pieces, because I know many of you asked me, where are we in the process? So success today is that you know exactly where we are in the process. We are required per the project agreement to review the request for substantial completion, and it's an important step for them to get to the next step of the process. Once we review, it then goes to the independent certifier. This is not the safety person. I'll talk about that in a moment. This is the independent certifier that looks at their request for substantial completion sign-off. I can tell you that RTG, because everybody's asking about what's the RSA date, continues to say the system will be completed and achieve RSA by the end of Q2 2019, which is the end of June 2019. And a reminder, we've always said we need about a month to get into revenue service. So the position for RTG right now is they're sticking with that. They're completing the final closeout and completion of work and testing and commissioning, as you know, by all the videos, the trains that you're seeing and so forth, is continuing out on the system. So what is substantial completion and where does it take you? So substantial completion signifies that the project has advanced to the point where construction and testing is effectively complete. It means they're done. And it applies to all elements of the system, the trains, the rail, the vehicles, and so forth. So it's everything that you've paid for in that $2.1 billion contract. And there can be no restrictions that materially impairs our use of the system. So it has to be clear. And it includes public and city use of the system, the maintenance services, and safety and flow within the system. And as you know, our focus on all the critical elements continues to be safety is at the top, vehicles, you need the vehicles for a good, safe, reliable system, critical operating features, both the operating elements and the customer-facing elements that need to be functioning, station and maintenance readiness. So now I'm going to walk you through the substantial completion review process. This is all, again, spelled out in the project agreement. So RTG issues their substantial completion notice and all the supporting document. We, the city, have up to 5 days to provide an opinion to the independent certifier as to whether we believe the conditions for substantial completion have been met. The independent certifier then takes 5 days to determine whether or not RTG has satisfied the conditions of substantial completion. And there's two possible scenarios that can occur, and I'll walk you through those. So scenario one is the independent certifier renders their opinion and says they have achieved substantial completion per the definition in the project agreement. If that occurs, two things happen. They get their $59 million first payment, which they have not been paid anything. You've heard me over and over again. And they're entitled to move into trial running. And trial running is outlined in that slide at the bottom. They have to do 12 consecutive days of near-perfect operations, and it tests everything. The operating schedules, the performance, the reliability of the entire system and the subsystems, and it demonstrates vehicle availability and reliability. If they pass the trial running period, the safety auditor needs to sign off. So again, the checks and the balances. And then RSA is then achieved. So they need to get through substantial completion, they need to get through trial running, and the safety auditor needs to sign off. You have then achieved, RTG has then achieved RSA. And then, as we've said many times, we need up to 4 weeks to launch. That's scenario one. Scenario two is if the independent certifier determines that they have not achieved substantial completion, the independent certifier provides a detailed report to RTG saying, here's why you have not achieved. And RTG has up to 5 days to provide a corrective action plan and the details associated with that. They can give it to us sooner if they like. And then you restart the review process, and it doesn't necessarily need to take the additional 5 days that I've outlined in scenario one. You know the elements. You've seen this slide before. We continue to monitor all those. They're aligned with what's in the project agreement. They're aligned to best practices. They're aligned to all those independent experts that we've brought in to assist us. And it ranges from fleet availability to the tunnel ventilation system to power systems and winter operations and so forth. So the status of those nine critical elements, RTG has made significant progress on all elements. However, to achieve substantial completion, there's varying degree of work that remains, is our view. And I want to talk about the second bullet on fleet reliability and completion. First and foremost, you do not own the contract with Alstom for the vehicles. That is with RTG. RTG has an obligation to you to deliver the fleet, all 34 vehicles, in a state of readiness, in a state of virtually defect-free and very reliable, and no major outstanding issues can remain. RTG needs to continue to focus on that with Alstom, because as I said over and over again, we need a reliable fleet to go into service. And a reminder, it's not like some of the other systems where you're launching into greenfields and you're hoping that your ridership will come. You will have full ridership on day one. 80 to 85% of your ridership, of your 350,000 customers, will be on that train on day one. So 200, 240,000 people will be using that system every single day. 11,000 people per hour per direction. So we need a reliable fleet. Now let me be crystal clear about the fleet, because I don't want any misinterpretation or understanding. We have a very good rail vehicle coming to us. And I've done the checks and the balances. I brought in the experts from across North America, people that have worked in the field. We have a very good product coming to us from Alstom. But like any vehicle that gets launched, they need to shake out the issues that are within the vehicle and get those things addressed and get them to the state of readiness that we need, because we want to have a reliable fleet across the board. So no, it's not about we can't use the vehicle in winter, and no, it's not about it's not a good vehicle. We've been through all that. We have a very good product coming to us, and if all the vehicle experts that I'm paying a lot of money to come and talk to us and review this stuff in detail had any red flags, we'd be raising that with you. So I want to be clear on that point. But like any new fleet, this is all normal. You have to shake out these issues and make sure that you've got that reliability. And I will emphasize it. You've got a very busy system on day one, and we want success across the board. The best thing that RTG can do right now is have laser focus and be accountable for getting those vehicles to the state that we need and put the pressure on Alstom to make sure they deliver. So it is a great company. They have a great product. They will get there. They need to get there. Our preparation, look, we're very busy. We've been at this for 5 years, and it's not, I know everybody's looking at the trains and the stations and so forth. We have hundreds and hundreds of staff for the last 5 years that have been getting us ready from a bus to rail, rail to bus operation system. You've seen that in your Ready for Rail campaigns. We're ready, we're focused, they're dedicated, they're resilient. They, you know, if there's been delays, that staff, they bounce back, and they're committed. So we're doing our ongoing plans, and our Ready for Rail campaign continues. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That concludes the presentation. Happy to take any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Manconi. Questions from committee? Councillor Cloutier.
Merci beaucoup, Mr. Manconi. Thank you very much. Your slide number 33 said that they have, RTG has submitted their substantial completion notice. So are we in that 5 plus 5 day process where the independent certifier is verifying and then the city verifies?
Yes, so they've submitted, we've completed our part, the independent certifier is still in process.
Who is the independent certifier? Is that a board? Is that a person?
It's a subcontract with a company called Altus Group, who specializes in this type of activity, quantity surveying, measuring construction progress, measuring substantial performance, and essentially acting as a third-party independent actor in these instances.
Paid by the city, or is it part of the...
It's 50-50. Contract? RTG is paying 50%, we're paying 50%.
And they are independent as per their professional obligations. Okay. You spoke of with respect to the vehicles, the shakeout. I'm sure there's some shaking out on the vehicles that is going on as part of the testing. What do you expect the issues to be once we enter operational, once we attain our SA date and that the system is in use? Are you able to guide us in the expectations?
Mr. Mayor, through you, are you talking about the vehicles, the system, or?
I'm referring to your comment, there's going to be a shakeout, and I think you referred to the vehicles.
Oh, yes, no, that's what you do during testing and commissioning. You continue, I've had people ask me why the vehicle's running up and down, and up and down. That's because you're looking for problems, you're looking for defects, you're looking for issues. We had everything from minor things such as adjustments to the sun visor for operators, windows in the cab and so forth. You're looking for all those things. And that is normal associated with a new type of vehicle, a retrofitted vehicle, or a vehicle that's been built for many years.
Okay. And again, until that, the testing or the RSA date refers to ensuring that all 34 trains have passed testing and are tested and commissioned. The computer-based train control system and all front-facing and safety elements that are built into the stations are operational, are as per the contract.
That's correct. And I will say this, that there is... A lot of those critical elements are in very, very good shape. And what happens is there's a strong dependencies associated with the vehicle to get the final paperwork and the final sign-offs and so forth. So it's not like the other elements aren't in good shape. They are in very good shape, but you can't do finalization on those until you have the vehicles signed off and running end-to-end consistently and reliably with the vehicle counts and the frequency that we need.
Just my last question, and it relates to the May 3rd incidents in Belfast Yards, and I'm certain it was out of an abundance of caution that it took from 5 a.m. to 3 p.m. and the learning process that you wanted to go through with the team. Would an incident in the Belfast Yard such as this delay the regular launch of vehicles in the morning at 4 or 5 in the morning when vehicles will be leaving Belfast Yards, and how will the operations staff mitigate this so that while a train might not be able to launch for whatever reason, and are there alternative tracks that other trains can use to get out onto the main line?
No, that's a great question. So it depends where it occurs and what time. We start launch operations at 4 a.m. in the morning, running out sweep trains and so forth. So that particular day, I believe there was 5 trains already out there. They would have been in service. So we would have been operating in degraded service. But if that incident would have happened in the back towards one of the curves, you know, the MSF, it's in your backyard there, it wouldn't have affected anything. So it depends where it occurs. That was a critical pinch point there. That leads you to the launch tunnel. But again, that's all the debriefs that we're looking at and what-if scenarios. I will say this, on your first incidents, whether it's this or any other thing that will occur, and they will occur, we will have disruption in service. I've said that over and over again. We took our time that day because we were rotating personnel through that scenario and saying, what would you do? How would you use the equipment? It's not a complicated operation to slide that train back onto those tracks. All the equipment was there. RTM did their job. We took our time and make sure that we understood what occurred. It was the first one. We had people taking notes and debriefs and so forth. So depends where it occurs. And then there's mitigation plans. And in the worst case scenario, if you don't have train operations, we deploy as many buses as we can to get bridging service, which you've seen in the briefs that we brought to Transit Commission to run parallel bus service at a limited approach.
So within Belfast Yards, you've identified those pinch points, because I know that at one point it goes to that connector tunnel underneath the Via Rail, and you'll have the equipment or the operational protocol there to get the trains running as quickly as possible. Get the trains launched.
Yes, but I'll add two other things. Depending on the time of year, you can also store trains in different locations. So we look at weather and so forth. And because you invested wisely on stage two, you'll recall we have a maintenance and storage facility out in the West End. We'll have trains parked out there too. So that's other mitigation processes.
Thank you for the presentation.
Merci, conseiller. Councillor Dudas, please.
Thank you very much for the presentation and the update. I noticed on one of the slides it spoke to achieve substantial completion, outstanding work of varying degrees remains. You spoke to the aspect of the vehicles. Is there anything else that you're waiting on or anticipating will take longer?
Yes, I'll just talk in broad categories, simply because we have to let the independent certifier do her work, and we don't want to skew kind of what's going out in there in the public domain. It's along the critical elements that I've listed. There's about five or six of those. Many of them are very manageable in terms of it's either final paperwork. For example, in the tunnel ventilation system, we're waiting for a final sign-off on a document. Winter maintenance, waiting for one letter that says they've committed to the enhanced protocols that I've briefed you on and so forth. So it's varying degree. There are no, how would I characterize them? There are no showstoppers outside of the vehicles that are problematic. And by the way, RTG has continued to do work, and we as their partner, we could theoretically just say we'll wait, but we're not. We're working in parallel with them. And so I anticipate that a lot of those other elements will get cleared up. And then there's another category that are linked to end-to-end testing with the vehicles that drive the final sign-off on those other elements.
I just wanted to know, at this point, what is your level of confidence in how this progress is tracking?
They've done some really, really good work. They have taken our advice on things such as stations and so forth. We need to, and we have, I can assure you, myself, the city manager, and others, we need to send a clear message to RTG that Alstom needs to focus on those vehicles. And again, they're great vehicles. It's a great product. They need to get that final push to get those lists of issues that have been identified that everybody has agreed to. Alstom agrees to them. RTG agrees to them. And I am being relentless with RTG to say, you have that contract with Alstom. Unlike other properties where people have gone off and bought their own vehicles, and that could have brought you to a whole different problematic space, that risk and liability rests with RTG. And loud, strong messages, including today, is Alstom, you better be listening. You got to get those trains done.
Another strong message is the penalties that the city imposes when the consortium doesn't meet milestones. When is the next date that we'd be looking to impose a penalty if they miss that milestone?
So you have a wide range of tools in your toolkit. You have not paid them to date. Mm-hmm. And trust me, the penalties are double digits that they have incurred on interest costs and carrying costs and financial costs. It's very, very, they're feeling a lot of financial pain. That's why they want to get to substantial completion, so they get a partial payment. And you've not paid them anything. You have penalized them every time they've missed the RSA date. And if they miss the next RSA date, when they provide that formal notification, if they miss that, then they would get another $1 million hit. But we're not focusing on that because we believe they're going to achieve substantial completion before RSA. That's what they're telling us. And if they focus, they can get there. And they're not going to get any money from us until they achieve substantial completion. And then the final payment is at RSA, and you saw the hoops they need to get to RSA.
And I just want to quickly note, it might have passed by some people's attention because there was a lot of information in the presentation, the interconnection with Via Rail. And I think that's a wonderful component because it'll really enhance our system and add to our transportation network. So I wanted to thank you for your work with that. And I look forward to seeing that interconnection and integration of the system. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councillor Dudas. Councillor Deans?
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm just still a little bit unclear, so I just want to go over. So has RTG applied for substantial completion at this point? Have they triggered that independent certification review?
They have filed for substantial completion, yes.
Okay. And does that, and so then you meet with them and you go through that list that you showed us of all of the outstanding items, or does the independent certifier start their work?
We provide them a document saying we either believe you've achieved substantial completion or you have not, and here's why. The independent certifier then provides them a document with her opinion on it saying we believe you have or have not.
Okay, so they applied for it. Did we provide them a document saying we do not believe you have met all of the fundamentals?
Correct, and now that is with the independent certifier who has not completed her review. So we're still in that window of time.
It's 5 days that she has?
She has 5 days, correct.
Okay, and when is that?
That expires on Monday at 4 p.m.
Monday at 4. So then we would have a sense if we're moving forward at that point. Then that triggers the 12 days of continuous service?
No, it depends, as I outlined, whether you're in Scenario 1 or Scenario 2. If the independent certifier says, yep, thank you, City, for your review, I believe they have achieved substantial completion, they're in Scenario 1, they can move into trial running.
Okay. And then they have to achieve 12 continuous days with no problem.
Correct. There's criteria for all elements within that. There's a scorecard on that.
And if the independent certifier at 4 o'clock on Monday says no,
then you're into scenario two.
And they start again.
RTG has 5 days to give a corrective plan based on what the independent certifier has said. And then you don't necessarily need to take the 5 days for both ourselves or the independent certifier.
Okay.
You can move as quickly as you like.
But a corrective plan is not implementation of the plan. So when does the implementation of the corrective plan happen?
It depends on the issue and the scope and the scale, Councillor. So we'll have to see what the independent certifier provides them.
Okay. So in your opinion, the main issue right now is with the trains. Maybe not the only issue, but it's the... What issues have you identified to the independent certifier or to RTG?
Again, I'll just go with the broad categories that Councillor Dudas talked about. Final paperwork on some of the elements, such as the tunnel ventilation system, the winter operations plan. There is some elements associated with telephone system for inside the escalators and so forth, which are linked to some of the subsystems. And then the rest I would characterize, there's a linkage to the vehicles being able to get to that final state, which drives a bunch of end-to-end tests. So it's not that they're not going to make it, it's they just need to clear up some of the deficiencies in the vehicles, and then they can do the final testing, and then that gets us to the state that we need to get to. But the concern, to summarize, is Alstom needs to focus on getting the vehicles to the state that we are insisting on.
Okay. And what is the fundamental? What are the fundamental issues with the vehicles?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to look to Mr. O'Connor. I think I need to be cautious in a public domain as to what exactly we've given them and what we've given to the independent certifier, because I don't want to cloud. I'll talk generally terms. There is nothing out of the ordinary that we're seeing in the vehicles that's not typical of startups. There's no showstoppers in those vehicles. Everything that we're seeing is fixable.
Do we have all the trains?
Anything else, Council?
Are all the trains operational?
Yes.
And it's, what, 32 or 34?
34.
Okay, and they're all being tested on the tracks?
Correct.
So it's fundamentally a communication system on those trains that's problematic?
No, it's a wide range of minor things, such as an example is there was a sliding door in the vehicle cab that needed to be repaired. It's an example. So you've got a wide range of things, but there's nothing major that the expert independent people that I've brought in from a vehicle perspective are saying, wow, this is something we haven't seen, or there's a fundamental flaw in the vehicle design or anything like that. It's typical startup of vehicles going into the revenue service. So it's time, focus, and laser attention to detail to getting those vehicles done. And, you know, the one side of kind of being empathetic to RTG and Alstom is they are also doing testing and commissioning in parallel. So it's, you know, that combination of fix these minor defects and get trains out for testing and commissioning service. So it's a balancing act that they're doing.
Okay, just wanted to ask, I know you said that we don't own the contract with Alstom, but just curious about the warranty on those vehicles. Is it triggered on the day that we receive them or RTG receive them, or is the warranty triggered based on mileage?
So the setup of this contract as a P3, the specific warranty is really between Alstom and Rito Transit Group or Alstom and their builder. For us, our kind of confirmation, our warranty is the 30-year performance agreement. It's the measuring the mileage on a month-by-month basis. They need to meet those mileage requirements. If they don't, then they're penalized for that. So our tool, you know, in our toolkit during the service period, the 30 years, it's really about meeting the performance metrics. Everything else about, you know, defects and life cycle and routine maintenance and, you know, updates to the vehicle, update to the software, that's all owned by Rito Transit Group in their mm-hmm. subcontract to Alstom. For us, it's about the monthly service, it's the monthly service payments, and it's the monthly performance.
Okay. Just back to the revenue service availability and the handover date, I always ask you your confidence. Do you think they're going to meet it?
If they're able to get Alstom to focus on the vehicles, yes.
Okay, and so if they did meet it, presumably it's June 30th because it's the end of Q2, you said you needed 30 days. So the earliest availability for the trains, for our residents, for our taxpayers to be able to get on those trains would be August 1st at this point?
You know me with dates.
yes,
if they make that date, you're into a summer launch. And I want to talk about bus operations and you folks, because I got to take care of you and the customers. You have a bunch of things associated with the buses. Council Attorney's nodding. I want reliability up. I got to get the train launched to get the reliability up. I'm tired of canceling routes and hearing about it. I know you get the brunt of it. I want, as Councilor Cavanaugh on the room, the $5 million expansion. She asks me every time she sees me, the investment you made in the budget, I want to launch that. So I will do everything in my power with my team to get the launch going as quickly as we can. And the mayor has been very clear with me, and so has the city manager, what's the reasonable time frame for safe, reliable launch of the train and all your other benefits that come out of launching this train, reliability of bus service going up, your $5 million investment through budget, staff who are exhausted, yourselves that are getting the complaints, and all of us getting the when. I totally get it. It's sometime in the summer. Alstom needs to deliver. RTG needs to do what they're paid to, and we'll launch the train, and we'll get a great bus system along with it.
It's a great segue into my next question, which is that some of my colleagues have already been doing the Ready for Rail sessions with their constituents, and I would like to do that too, but I want to make sure we're ready for rail when I do it. So can you give us an indication of maybe not today, but sometime soon, can you send us a memo when it would make sense that we're at the point where we think ready for rail session would be an appropriate time frame.
I can do that, Councillor. I'm happy to meet with you. I would do it now. I think it's a great thing. We're getting great benefits, the uplift. You know, people are getting it, and, you know, I know some people are asking when, but there, a lot of people, the feedback I'm hearing is this is great, and I can't wait for it. So happy to work with your office, and we'll give you whatever you need.
Okay. And you're absolutely right, the $5 million, I know that 98 in my ward is part of that, and I have to have a public meeting because people are so fed up with it, and I just would like to be able to give them some news about when we're going to implement those improvements. Do you have any sense of that?
It's after the train is launched. We have all that mapped out, Councillor. It's ready to go. The team has been working literally every single day, weekends, mapping all that out. And as I've told RTG, you know, because they complained to me about their stress, come and live the stress with the OC Transport team. We need to deliver on what you've asked for. And the bus component is very, very important. It feeds the train system, the expansion that you've paid for, the fixing of the routes, the reliability, all that. So we have the scenarios, and depending on when they launch and they get through trial running, we'll have a clear indication.
Thank you.
Just for clarification, I think it's important when we talk about the 12 consecutive days, if you come to day six, and there's a minor problem, you have a whole list of areas that you don't have to start the clock back again at day one. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a criteria. If it's very major, yes, it's a reset,
right.
But there's flexibility and there's targets within all that criteria. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. So, and also if the independent safety advisor comes back and says we're a go, it is still realistic for you to meet the end of Q2 for handover of the service. Is that correct?
A revenue service availability? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Councillor Hubley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things, Mr. Manconi. I just want to follow up on, you were saying some of the outstanding issues in response to Councillor Deans. One of them, for example, is the testing of the ventilation system in the tunnel. You've talked about that here at this meeting multiple times. My understanding, the testing and everything's all done. It's just a matter of having, and we're all in agreement on that, it's just a matter of having the certification. Is that correct?
There's some outstanding paperwork. The tunnel ventilation system has gone through all the rigorous testing. It's passed. And again, I'll give RTG credit where credit is due. They did a great job in getting it to the state it needed to.
And the other comment to do with the Ready for Rail program that OC Transport put out, there was a great one done for the East End councillors. Last night you did one for the West End. We are getting so close to this launch date. OC Transport does not have the capacity to do a Ready for Rail a week out from when it launches all across the city, correct? That's why we started early with these, because residents have been asking. I see Councillor Luloff shaking his head. He was a big part of putting the East End one together. The residents have been asking for this information, and part of what happens at Ready for Rail is the OC Transport people set up laptops with the trip planner that's available to the public and everything. I know at last night's session, most people did take advantage of that opportunity. So could you please elaborate on that, we don't have the capacity to do this the week before the launch. It has to be anybody interested in doing this. I think Councillor Eglise has already done one. You need to get out ahead of time on this and give people a chance to see what the impacts are.
Councillor, I couldn't agree with you more. The single most important thing that occurs once people get over the hype of, wow, it looks great, how does it affect me? And that's the single most important thing.
Yep.
Is how is my trip changing and what do I do? That's why we've launched the trip planner in advance. We just launched the website yesterday, and yes, at those forums, we brought extra staff because we learned at the East End. It was, okay, great, I like the pictures. How does it affect me? And we will sit and navigate everybody through their trip scenario so that they're ready for it.
Okay, thank you. And we're also going to ask for councillors' help to promote the Red Vest program, which they're available at those sessions as well, but for people to know that we're going to have people deployed at all the stations with these red vests, so that if you've got a question about, okay, you know, how do I connect to my bus or my next train, whatever, go up to one of these people and they'll be able to help you, correct?
Correct. Look for the red vests in the O, yep.
Okay. Now, my last question for you is, in all this talk of the LRT and how close we're getting, the excitement's building, one of the things that I think gets lost in the conversation but needs to be mentioned, and that is the good work that your people are doing at OC Transpo to prepare not just for when it launches, but in case it doesn't launch at a certain date or whatever. They're actually working a dual system right now, which is very challenging, but they're delivering. They're ready for whatever we have coming. And maybe you want to elaborate on that for councillors so they know the efforts that are being put in at OC Transpo right now.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. So we're mapping out scenarios for launch, but also we've sustained the service. We had to get through the delays and so forth, and that causes a lot of back and forth, and so what I know the chair is pointing to is a big gratitude to the staff and to the union partners who have been phenomenal. They have really worked with us on changing things such as booking rules, overtime rules, and so forth. And it's a bit of a back and forth. The stress is definitely there, a bit of fatigue, but we're there for everybody, and we wanted it just as badly as you do.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Cavanaugh. Get that mic.
There. I think I got it. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Manconi. As you know, I've always asked the same questions, but it's related to the bus routes because you mentioned that we have to wait a little while, and as you know, it was September 2nd this past year when the routes got changed, preparing for LRT. So it'll be almost a year to get back things like the number 11 bus route. And you're saying that there's a delay between the train starting and when those bus routes are changing. Can you give us an idea so people know out there what kind of lag you're talking about?
I don't have that exact period. It depends when they turn it over to us. Because we have, you've heard me talk about that logistics change for booking and bus count and so forth. We're also overlaying. And again, this is part of the stress we're all feeling. You know, again, Councillor Turney, just to go back to him, he's asking me why he had, I think, 5 cancellations this week. Not a good week for his ward. We're also overlaying all the road projects. We weren't supposed to be this late on RTG's delay, and I've got the Shawdier Bridge that's closed, I've got all those things, so we're layering all those layers of complexity. It depends when they turn it over to us, so we'll know when we get towards the end of trial running, we'll certainly when we lock into RSA, and we are planning a full update to the Transit Commission to answer exactly those questions and those of Councillor Deans and everybody else that are asking right now. How does the puzzle all come together? I can assure you, I know how desperately the community needs those routes. I'm trying to minimize that time, but it depends on when we get the keys turned over to us.
Thank you. The other question is related to the system map that's up now. It's a post-LRT map, so people are very confused right now. Can we have some updates it's confusing to people. How do we address that?
Yes, Mr. Scrimger is going to be sending something out in that regard. Again, not to get too down into the weeds, but we're looking at this speaks to what Chair Hubley is speaking about, is, you know, we're looking at, do we expedite things such as your route change with going with double maps on the bus stops and shelters so that we just peel the first one off, get through the summer service, and then the new routes are in? Lots and lots of logistics. Because at some point you got to change those 6,000 maps and then you got to go back and change them again. So, but we will send something out to straighten out the messaging on that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Manconi. Appreciate it. And Mr. Morgan, thank you.